We touched on this late in the show yesterday because Stephon Diggs had a press conference in which he used some of the time to talk about how he's an adult, how he doesn't want to be seen as a pain in the posterior, and by name addressed Phil and Tom. Didn't have their last names, but Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
They're not big enough to celebrities to just to go by Phil and Tom, you know, like Beyonce.
Yeah, they are not. They might want to think so, like we all would like to think so, but they are not. But it's good that he knew their names and threw them out there. But we now have this, I guess I'll call it a situation. And Tom Curran, speaking of him, he will join us at 3:30, as he does every Thursday. So I think we'll have the opportunity to talk to him about this and whatever went down, because I still am a little unclear. So we know that Phil Perry made the pain in the posterior comment, which I believe was when Phil was in Minnesota and Tom
was
back
in Minnesota.
Boston. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why Tom is dragged into this. I know they kind of go together. They work together a lot. This is a life I used to lead where Andy Hart and Paul Perillo were like interchangeable, like, oh, those two guys, they're always together and they do the same jobs and they're blah, 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 kind of. And Paul says something like,
Kersh and Scalavino would try to stay out.
You people like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait, Paul said it. Why am I part of this situation or vice versa? So this whole thing with Stephon Diggs, and we, as I said, we got a chance to touch on it in odds and ends at the very conclusion of yesterday's show at Fenway Park. The show we started with some breaking news that Roman Anthony was going on the IL. Thank you, Alex Cora, for sharing that with us and ruining our Red Sox season, because the game that came after that information, if that's any indication of how the Red Sox are going to perform post-Roman Anthony, well, it's football season.
The Sox season isn't ruined. It's not over. The fat lady hasn't even arrived at the ballpark. She's not even dressed at the house, let alone considering calling a Lyft or an Uber down to the ballpark to sing. Come on.
I'd rather the fat lady come than Jordan Hicks arrive at Fenway Park, because Jordan Hicks is awful.
And I'm ready for them to eat that $25 million right now, Andy.
You may hear that talked about in my three-point stance today. Yes, Dan Ball?
Did you see the news from today? Per Chris Cotillo, he has been put on the injured list with what they are describing as a shoulder injury. But you can jump to your own conclusion.
You know, can you be put on the injured list for terribleness?
No, you got to make up an injury. You got to come up with something. Okay. You know, he would fit in well in the Wizard of Oz. Like if he was with the Scarecrow and the rest of them as they're going to Oz to ask for something, the ability to pitch would be what he'd ask the wizard for.
If I only had some aim.
If I only could throw pitches like a major league pitcher who's making $12+ million a year. But no, we're going to start off with this Stephon Diggs situation. First of all, I have to ask the question. Is it a situation, or is this just a weird Boston media moment? Because he's different. Stephon Diggs comes from the bulk of his career. Minnesota, not a huge media market. Buffalo, not a huge media market. I think this is a different beast he's dealing with in Boston. I've heard a lot of people talk about this when they get here, like, holy crap, do all these reporters come every day to training camp?
Where the hell? And they ask that many questions, and
yes,
they all have that many Twitter followers, and they all stay up your bum bum and ding dong.
Posterior,
posterior, thank you. They all stay near it, adjacent to it, or up it for the majority of the season and beyond. Some do it more for the clicks and likes, as I'm sure you know, Andrew, and some do it because they're just especially good at it. No town leads the majors or leads the National Football League in exposés, incidental hit pieces, breaking news, and informative podcasts like the Patriots Media Cartel, a.k.a. Boston Sports Media.
So, you know, the example I was thinking way back to, and this is funny because Tom Curran was also involved, was Monty Beisel. When there was that famous confrontation in the locker room and Curran said, oh, don't worry, I'll be here longer than you will be. And that was Monty Beisel adjusting to a different world of Boston sports media under some pressure to perform and replace Brewski and different things going on there.
Monty Beisel.
Yes.
Wow, there's a name I've not heard in some time.
And obviously, Steph Diggs is a much better player based on everything he's accomplished in his career. Now, we'll see if he's still a much better player, but in his resume, he's an all-pro caliber player who there's some pressure on him, and he's adjusting, and he's learning, and all of these things that have happened in the offseason have been part of a non-perfect start to his time in Boston. But is this a situation? Is there anything to really make of this right now with Stephon Diggs going in front of the media talking about the media, talking about himself, being an adult and all these things. Is this an issue for Nick Fitzy-Stevens, man of the people?
Pause and let me roll back real quick. Do you truly believe that there is pressure on Stephon Diggs? Before
Absolutely.
I get my answer on this, do you think
he's the biggest star on the New England Patriots right now, and his production could decide how good a second season Drake May has, who could decide how many games you win, how good this offense is. Mm-hmm. He is the well-compensated number one wide receiver on the New England Patriots.
So he should be their offensive North Star. And
sure.
I agree. I think, as I said yesterday, so goes Stephon Diggs, so goes possibly opening day and the start of the Patriots season 2025 offensively. I just wonder, you're right. Everything that you just listed, that all makes sense as far as there should be pressure on him. I just wonder if he's the type of guy that feels that pressure because he's already an established star. He's dating an international superstar. He's probably got plenty of money. He probably DGAF. So I'm kind of wondering at this point, like, does he feel all that pressure or is it perceived pressure? Maybe because is he out here to save his reputation? Is he out here because he really loves helping second-year quarterbacks ascend to their rightful place among the league superstars? Does he really care, or is he just playing a game that he's good at? These are all things I want to find out about him. Like, does he still have the dog in him? Does he still have that fight? I will find out starting Sunday. Now, as far as how all of this registers with me, it's not even a blip on the radar because Andy, once the New England Patriots brought him into town and it was more than just a cursory visit and the word was leaking out that Stephon Diggs was likely to get a contract offer and then he signed that whopping 3-for-69 deal as the Patriots bid against nobody but themselves, they had to have known what they were signing up for, as did the fans and the good people of Patriots Nation. He can be a pain in the ass. He is a lot to handle, both on the field and off. He can be good for your quarterback. He can also be great for the media in all the right and wrong reasons. I'm a fan. I think he's going to be great starting this Sunday, let alone this season for Drake and the offense. But as far as it being a thing for me, hell no.
So I think it's a thing, and I think it's a bigger thing in conjunction with what I'm going to call Mayo era, like 2 weeks of Patriots football under Mike Vrabel. Since
the call this Mayo era?
Mayo era. And we look at it very differently. If this were all happening under Gerard Mayo, we would be very critical of what's going on down in Foxborough. But because Mike Vrabel is the chosen one and the loved son and blah, 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 whatever he is, we are. So Mike Vrabel said he has rats in his organization. Mike Vrabel tried to laugh off and backtrack from saying he has rats in his organization.
And we all thought that was hogwash.
Mike Vrabel's team put together a roster that was presented on Patriots.com with a player who wasn't actually on the roster that they then had to quickly remove the graphic and put a different graphic up with the actual roster.
The Cole Strange debacle.
Then Mike Vrabel put together a roster that included the likes of Kendrick Bourne and Jabril Peppers. Well, not for long. Then Kendrick Bourne didn't want to be here. They didn't want him here. Pay cuts, whatever. He gone. Then Jabril Peppers cut, and I guess he was going to take a pay cut, not a scheme fit. Then he gone. Now we have a player publicly in a, can I call it a kerfuffle? A kerfuffle with two of the most popular. Mm-hmm.
It's almost a fandango. Yeah, you can call it a kerfuffle.
Two of the most popular, connected, experienced members of the media corps in Phil Perry and Tom Curran. And I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs is wrong. I'm just saying he's now in a very public situation with them, and he brought it to the masses yesterday in his press conference. I think if all of this was happening under Gerard Mayo, we'd be mocking it a lot more. But because Mike Vrabel is an experienced head coach and he's a guy we like and we think he's steering the ship in the right direction and he brings credibility and all these things, we're kind of ignoring that the last 2 weeks have been a little bit of a debacle down in Foxborough in terms of the way they've handled everything. You know, this isn't quite Jelani Tavai calling out fans and telling them to know their role, but it's a weird interaction with the media. It's weird public comments that are being made. So I do think this is something to keep an eye on. I very much, and
Diggs or the way things are going with the coach?
Both in conjunction with each other. One-offs here are fine. There's more than one-offs happening. And then the other issue that Stephon Diggs needs to be aware of is you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You have been a bit of a pain in the posterior in Minnesota and in Buffalo. So it's on your well-documented track record or resume as an NFL player. I'm not going to include last year because I don't know exactly what happened last year. I know he was a captain and he was very productive, and then he got hurt and then they didn't want him back. Like, those are just the facts of the case from a year ago. So I don't know what his reputation was or wasn't in Houston.
Right.
But in Buffalo and Minnesota, isn't it fair to say he was a pain in the posterior at times?
At times, and it seems more so. I think when you see the way that Stephon Diggs operates, there's a track record. There's almost a timeline you can follow. It's supposed to start with the good guy, the inspirational leader, the dog in the locker room, the QB's best friend. Then it goes to the on-field production. Then he doesn't ultimately get what he wants, be that more catches, more targets, a Super Bowl or a new contract. Then he kind of, you know, becomes a bigger pain in the posterior, and then he becomes someone else's problem. We should be not even at the quarter mark. We shouldn't even be around the first lap on our way to the mile as far as like the Steph Diggs circle or the Steph Diggs timeline right now. And as far as the Mike Vrabel era, you're right, because normally we would look at these things and we'd say we would pass by this little brush fire on the side of the road and say, nah, I don't really need to call the fire department. That's just a little brush fire. It'll probably put itself out. Whereas last year, we knew any little fire could possibly turn into a wildfire or a conflagration in the Gerard Mayo era because nobody knew what the hell they were doing. This could be the little spark that flies off and leads to worse things. If, Andy, they go out and play like ass on Sunday.
And that is the big key, and that is why it all fell apart for Gerard Mayo. It wasn't any of the brush fires. It was the on-field failures right up until the end, where even a victory was seen as a failure in the finale. And you're right. If they go out and take care of business in September, take care of the Raiders, take care of the Steelers, win these winnable games, at least split the month, you'll be well on your way. Now, if you go get exposed against the Raiders and you lose at home, and then you marry that up with all these other issues, they will be magnified and they will become bigger issues. I do want to say, though, it is every bit Stephon Diggs is right to take this to the press conference, to the masses, because what Phil Perry said was in a public spectrum and was then talked about and magnified by people like us, right? Oh, Phil Perry said he's becoming a pain in the posterior. Podcasts, aggregations, radio, we're talking about it. We're referencing it. So even if Phil Perry did apologize in private, Stephon Diggs deserves to get his public justification, his message out there, whatever he wants to say about being an adult and a professional and wanting to get along with the media. So I may not have handled it this way. It may not be the ideal way, but he has every right to go public with what he did yesterday in his comments and talk about Tom and Phil.
I do as well, because before he actually hits that part on the Steph Diggs timeline where he becomes the pain in the posterior, he doesn't need anyone else advocating for what a pain he can actually be. Like, let it. You know what? They probably shouldn't have gone as far. Maybe he can be a nuisance at times, or he can be, he can be high maintenance. If Phil and Tom had only gone that far and not, PG to TV, the TV MA version of saying someone's a pain in the ass, pain in the posterior, then I don't think we're here today. But Andy, here we are. And now Sunday proves out everything. Sunday could erase all of this, or Sunday could turn things worse quick.
And they knew what they were getting in bed with when they signed Stephon Diggs, out of desperation, in my opinion. Because if you remember, Josh McDaniels was asked about Stephon Diggs. And reminder that Josh McDaniels' brother coached Stephon Diggs in Houston last year. And this is what Josh had to say.
Steph is a unique individual, unique player. Got a really good skill set. Been a very productive player for a long time. Excited about his addition. My brother had an opportunity to coach him last year in Houston. So I have a little bit of insight into, what he's like day to day. And I'm really excited about having him here.
And I want to put that in perspective. The grin when he says unique individual is one of those knowing grins where we're all in on the information. We're not going to talk about this, but we all kind of know what I'm talking about here kind of grin. And I don't think it was a fearful grin. It was just we're aware that Stephon Diggs is a number one receiver with some baggage. He's mercurial. He's a diva, whatever description you want to deal with. And the Patriots have dealt with that. There was a boat. There was a baggie. There was pink stuff. There's showing up late to practice. He's not late. He's working with other trainers. We didn't know that. Why is he going right into drills? We've never seen this before. Now he's calling out some media members in a press conference who called him out first. That's just sort of the roller coaster world you're going to get when you have these types of players. And whatever that type is, I don't even know the specific word I want to use. Stephon Diggs is one of these types of players.
I mean, it's a diva. He's a wide receiver one. He wants to be an alpha. He's a diva. He demands first class treatment. And he was trying to, in his mind, I think he was handling it in a first class way yesterday. Now, again, go out Sunday, go 6 for 57 with a touchdown. Patriots
Boom.
Win.
Love you.
All is forgiven. All is forgotten. If you go 2 for 19 and the Patriots lose 23-17, woof, man, I wouldn't. Oh, that's right. We'll be doing the post game as well as the recap on Monday.
And he, if he only catches two, I think he'll have problems. Like if he catches balls and they're, then it'll be fine. If he's targeted his 6 to 10 times a game and he's catching 4 to 6 passes a game, he'll be fine. So production is going to be key for the team to overcome these little brush fires in August and early September. And production is going to be key for Stephon Diggs to not be a pain in the posterior, to be a contributing member of the New England Patriots.